Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker here on the big finale day for Top Chef. And joining me is the one and only 2003 James Beard Award nominee and loser, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, Ben. Thank you for having me. This is one of the most exquisite meals I've ever had in my entire life of being on the coast.
Chefs, one of the pleasures of being on the coast is that you, as three poor people who aren't very famous, and one of you who didn't do anything at the Olympics, now get to cook for lots of famous people and then some people who like to think they're famous. Please, have at it.
Top Chef season finale.
Tonight is the finale of Top Clams. We're down to Gabe, Chef, and Don. You're going to the finale. And then we get her intros of them all, because it's a finale. And she's like, Dawn Burrell, former Olympian, has impressed the chefs with her food. Unfortunately, she's always missing something. So it's like we like to call her, Dawn is top stupid. You're stupid, stupid.
We're going to start calling Dawn top Che, because we left the F off by accident. Just sort of like Dawn does.
Top Hef, Dawn. Sorry, forgot the C there.
Also, Gabe Morales, master of mole, something that we are very sick of, but I'm sure he'll serve us tonight in many different ways. Thanks, Gabe.
So I guess since we give a Gabe Morales update every week, we should go over the Gabe stuff right?
Here we go.
Because last week we kind of let Gabe off the hook. Okay, so this whole season the internet's like, Gabe was fired for, you know, something, but nobody knows why. People are kind of saying it's sexual harassment, but there's really no solid proof, right? So then somebody had sent me a text at that time who, because we know the family that owns that restaurant, Comedor. So I was trying to get some dirt without being too obvious, but someone connected to that restaurant, not the actual family or anything, sent me info that from Eater Austin, I think it was Eater Austin, or Welp. Was there something called Welp? Anyway, that people were speculating that there were 7 or 8 women who came forward, but there's no legitimate proof. It seems to be kind of swiped off the internet. So it's not really looking good on that front. The thing we talked about last week,
at the tip,
was the tip thing. Well, that wasn't just a regular customer. That was another, like, famous Dallas chef who came to his restaurant and Gabe wasn't there. And this guy had a meltdown and left the restaurant furious and then sent him a big long text like, how dare you? I came to your restaurant. You couldn't even show up. Major fucking disappointment.
Oh, wow.
And so Gabe posted, I think he posted that. Either he posted that or it was on that guy's Instagram and it became a big drama, the restaurant drama. And then Gabe posted pictures that this guy didn't even tip. And then the guy said that he did tip, but he tipped in cash. And then Gabe said, well, yeah, he tipped after I posted on Instagram that he didn't tip. He went back to the restaurant and gave them cash. And so that's not the same. And basically, I still don't know really any solid information because there is no solid information out there. So, you know, we can't really like send him down the river and we can't vindicate him, you know, but I guess all we could really say is there's a lot of shady shit out there about Gabe. And another thing we can say is there is major restaurant drama in Texas. I mean, Jesus, bunch of drama queens. I love it.
I know. I mean, yeah, there's like a Reddit account or someone on Reddit who is, you know, posting all sorts of stuff about Gabe. So at this point, we'll just say everyone can go Google it and make their own decisions, because we were trying to clarify something, and now it's just like, it's, you know, here's what we're going to focus on.
We made it murkier.
Yeah, we made it murkier. What we're going to focus on is that we're sick of moles from Gabe. That's it. That's what we're going to, that's what we're going to focus on, even though they look delicious, you know? So tonight, three chefs remain to duke it out in the finale on the coast. Welcome to Willamette Vineyards. Good morning, chefs. Congratulations. You are finally in the finale, but still very poor.
Nice view, huh? Look at this view, huh? And by nice view, I mean my hat. Let's just all stare at my silly hat, okay? Yeah. Because we are in Portland, and I'm grungy, okay? Yeah. Imagine me with a rock guitar right now, going like this. Anybody turned on? Wow.
No. And Dawn's like, yeah, it's beautiful. She's like shivering, ice cold. So Padma's like, well, it's our pleasure to welcome you to the stunning Willamette Valley Vineyards, home to Willamette and valleys and vineyards. Isn't it great? Hey, Dawn, are you cold? You cold, Dawn? Are you shivering? Huh, Dawn? Hmm?
Unfortunately, it's not called the Will I Am Family Vineyards, because we do make a lot of Black Eyed Pea references later in the show. Now, the rules today are very simple. You'll be tasked to create the best four-course meal of your life and be less poor. You'll be able to accomplish one of those things.
Dawn, please stop shivering. Oh, wait. Don't tell me you left your jacket behind. Can you believe it, guys? Dawn forgot something.
All right. We want you to think about the flow. We want you to think about the progression. We want you to think about my sweet, sweet grunge hit of 2021 called My Hat, which goes like this. My hat. Wow. Okay. Also, we need you to tell us why you should be top chef. Okay? We've arranged for you to meet local farmers.
Yeah, basically, you know, when we want your, as I said, we want your menu to flow. We want to talk about progression, creative choices, basically everything that a mixologist would never think about. You know, we want that out of you.
And you guess what? After that, after everything you've been through, the state is your clam.
Oh, wait, it says oyster. And as we all know, oysters are the celebrities of clams.
So we just want you to hit the road in that BMW 6M, which is amazing, and has things that cool your drink while you drive, and give you back massages, and have really trendy hats from Portland. Sorry, that's me. Okay? But enjoy your back massage and your cold coffee.
And while you guys are driving in your quote-unquote luxury cars, I'll be in a hot air balloon. Bye. Oh, wait, there's more? Okay. Tom, tell him what happens next. All right. Well, we're going to call in the cavalry. All right. Call in the cavalry. Oh, cavalry. Cavalry, get on in here, you stupid faces.
And then Maria and Byron and Jamie come. Bloop, 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 dee, 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 dee. Yeah. Come in. And Jamie's like, I'm back, bitches. Brrr, dong, dong, dong,
dong. Okay, settle down, slot machine. Okay, so everyone picks. Okay, Dawn, draw a knife. Okay, you get to pick first. So Dawn draws a knife and she picks Jamie. And Pamela goes, hey, Dawn, why did you choose Jamie? I'm just curious. Did you just want to lose this show? Is that what your plan was?
Is your plan to cook sound effects?
Is your plan to serve us a four-course meal made from Spencer's gifts and sound effects and such?
She's like, well, I love Jamie. Jamie's very talented. And Padma goes, all right.
That's my way of saying you're stupid, but a terrible choice. All right.
So Shota takes Byron, and Tom goes, well, that makes sense. Whatever that means. I'm like getting offended at everything they're saying today.
Yeah, and then Padma says, well, you lucked out, Gabe. You get the cryest crier of all criers. Enjoy having bean sprouts in your final dish.
Enjoy your soggy bean sprouts. So, Gabe, why are you so happy to have Maria? He's like, Maria habla mole tortilla. It's like, wow, brilliant. So then Maria and Greg, Gabe, Maria and Gabe are talking, and she's like, Gabe, I found my mentor in you, and I admire you, and I love you, and I honor you. He's like, okay. Sharpen the knives, Maria. Yeah, Jesus
like,
Christ.
Settle down. Settle down now. She's like, okay, here's my suggestion to you, Gabe. Okay, take all the ingredients and just put them into one big pot and just cook a big soup and serve it four times in a row. It's like, okay, we're going to do a mole instead. Okay.
Yeah, he's got some moles up his sleeve, guys. And we're all shocked.
I know. And like all his dishes have like kind of like an annoying sort of preloaded story. He's like, this particular mole was taught to me by Susanna Trillion, who lives in Oaxaca and has a cooking school there. I'm like, okay, just make your mole. Just make it. Like, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to sort out a sentimental story with everything that you've done. He's like, and this fork that I'm using, I found this fork in the airport lounge when I was flying out of Mexico City. It's like, okay, all right, we get it.
Maria's like, oh my God, when they see this mole, they're going to shit their pants, which is going to look probably like this mole.
Yeah. One thing leads to another. So then Shota says he doesn't want to do a crazy hard menu and he wants to showcase Japanese food and technique. And they've been telling him to cook from his heart all season long. So he's going to be doing more soulful cooking. At which point I kind of cringe because what he's been doing has been working. So I hate this in the finale when someone decides that they're going to kind of pivot away from what's working into like he's simplifying and he's going into like homey food when his whole thing all season long has been super refined. So I'm like nervous for him.
Yeah. And it's just such general advice. You know, like cook from your heart. Like, shut up. You know what? If we all cooked from our hearts, you guys would be pissed off. It's like Captain Crunch smashed on some melted marshmallows on top of a tortilla. You know, like you don't want that. You do not want me cooking from my heart. Stop lying. It's just something to say. You know, it's like the judges have to say something. So they say shit like, you really need to cook from your heart more. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to do my mom's favorite, which is cozy in your face. Which I really love that as a description for a mom. Like, she's really in your face, cozy. Like, welcome to my house, honey. Sit down and get that blanket around you right now. You're going to have this hot chocolate. Comfort. You're going to fucking like it.
Seriously. So Dawn's going to highlight Pan-African cuisine, and she's going to cook something to honor Leah Chase, famous New Orleans chef. And now it's time to go shopping. So now they're in their BMWs and they're off. First, they're in Whole Foods and then they go to like a farm store. And then Gabe is looking at squash. And Gabe is like, I think a lot of what Top Chef is about is telling a story through food. Yeah, I was like, well congratulations. Okay. You're the first person to say that ever on Top Chef. Tom just literally said, tell a story through food. You think you're so insightful, Gabe. Storytelling through food.
The amuse is like the prologue.
Shut up, Gabe. Just be quiet over there. Shut up.
Congratulations. The progressive meal. It's like inherent in the title of it that it has a narrative flow.
Yeah. He's like, candied squash is like a big part of my childhood. Oh, shut up. You know what that tells me? That you were a fat kid. Okay. That sounds like some bullshit my mother would try to pull on me. It's like, oh, look, I put some sugar on some broccoli. Sucker. Like, hey, I'm not falling for this.
Candied squash is a big part of his childhood, and yet he has to ask the guy who works at the store, is delicata squash the sweetest one you have here? Like, come on, have you ever used squash before? Chef. So then he's like, is this squash? It's like, that's a box of Captain Crunch. Well, it was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, actually, he's like,
his childhood.
Oh, go ahead.
His mom just always told him that Captain Crunch was squash.
Yeah. That's what parents of chubby children do. They're like, hey, you want a candy bar? Here's a carrot. It's like, wait a minute. How stupid do I fucking look like? How stupid do I look to you, mother? He's like, well, my hope is to impress the judges with my story. So I'm going to tell them a story about a tortilla named mole. Just go from there.
So they finish cooking and then they all go to this house that they're staying at, which has a big sad teddy bear. And then they're like, Dawn is like working on her menu because her whole thing is that she sort of like feels and waits for the inspiration. And she talks about how like for the Olympics, like you train for years just to compete for a few seconds. You know, and then all
that
of a
is what eating feels like. That's what cooking feels like in general to me. It's like, wow, I spent 2 hours cooking this and then I binged all four servings of it in literally 4 seconds.
That's exactly what happens.
I'm Olympic. I'm an Olympian. Like,
it's,
yeah,
It's like going to the Olympics and, you know, you train for years and years and then you like show up at the Olympics ready to do the long jump and you realize you forgot one of your shoes.
Yeah. And so she's like, yeah, I'm going to give the judges everything I have. Everything. It's like, everything. She's going to leave something off. You know, she is.
I know.
Because whenever you're terrified of doing something, you always do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So so now it's time for day one. Like now the next day, they get to have a whole day to do some prepping in the kitchen. So Dawn, in an effort to make her life easier, has decided to add a bread component to almost every dish. I'm like, Dawn, what are you doing to yourself? Why do you do this to yourself? Why are you adding bread to every single dish? Yeah, this is like exactly how to undermine yourself. I mean, it could be great, but like if you have an issue with plating, why are you putting something that takes like bread is like such like a beast, you know, it takes, you have to prove it. You have to prove it right. It takes hours. Like, why are you doing this to yourself, Dawn?
Yeah. And it's also something that other chefs don't respect that much from what we've seen on this show. So when you do four breads, A, you're giving yourself four things to get wrong. Like, yeah. Like you said, it's very difficult. And also chefs don't respect baking in the same way. You know, they have like this kind of looking down on it kind of a thing. Or when it's good, they're like, whoa, you baked something. This is absolutely amazing. You really never know which way it's going to go. But yeah, it's super, super risky.
Yeah, exactly. So Shota, his whole plan is his first course. He's going to do a sashimi three ways and then an octopus karage with water spinach and burdock root. And then his third course is going to be the curry with beef tongue. He's going to fry his beef tongue and then braise it, which I've just I never even heard of doing it like that. So that's like going to be his whole thing.
Yeah, he's like, I want to do this for my mom. You know, it wasn't easy on her raising me with her in-your-face comfort. You know, I remember her trying to make a good chicken noodle soup, but with just one nail in there. You know, it's very in-your-face comfort. It's like you're very comforted, but you also know that you could die at any moment. God, I love you, Mom.
Yeah, the way she would, I'd walk in and she'd just start blaring hard, like heavy metal and forcing me to have beautiful chicken soup when I was a little cold. Man, that in-your-face comfort was difficult.
So Gabe is, Maria, we finally get to cook together. She's like, you're my hero. Shut up, Maria. Just be quiet. All right.
Yeah. So he's going to do like a pig head cheese and scallops and then a short rib. And so now he's talking about, this is my note. I said, this is my note. I go, Gabe talking about making mole, literally no one cares.
I mean,
it's like, really, seriously. Is this your first mole of the season? Thank you. Thank you for informing us about moles again.
Yeah. It's like whenever you go on a Disneyland ride and you have to listen to that same instruction thing over and over, over the loudspeakers. It's like, welcome to Captain EO. What you are about to see is one of the, it's like, shut up, Mole EO. Why do I keep bringing up Captain EO? I don't know. I've brought it up like three times in the past week. Why? Yeah. I don't know. Don't know. But he's like, mole, it's a Mexican term for sauce. It's not just throwing everything in a pot. The varieties are endless. I create a variety of sauces and I cook them down once I mix them together and decide what's right. Mole! Long live mole! You're my hero, mole man!
Congratulations. You just described making sauce. I mean, not to minimize mole. I know mole has got a lot going on, but I'm just like sick of Gabe, like, talking as if we've never seen moles before, and especially because this season he's made a mole every single week. So Dawn, meanwhile, she is going to be doing like a play on Ethiopian tartare, and she's going to be doing a lamb tartare with beef tendon and honey bread, and then a green gumbo with Carolina gold rice fritter, and then a jerk beef cheek with braised black eyed peas and preserved turnips. And Jamie's like, I want her to win, but it's a lot.
So then we see Maria taking her huge pig head out of the steamer, which, listen, I admit that I'm ignorant, okay? I admit it, but no, head cheese, no. No, stop. I can't watch you make a pig head. I can't.
Okay,
it upsets me. It upsets me.
So then, now they start working.
I love pigs.
Okay. So now they're all working on their desserts, and Dawn is she tells us she's going to show them how she cooks as a family, which apparently means that everyone gets a big heaping plate of food except for one person who gets like a biscuit. That's it. So it's one person in that family.
So then we see all the guests, all stars are at the house now waiting for them. And Dale's like, well, we couldn't make it easy on you, right, chefs? You three are going to have to choose one of us to cook against, and the loser will be going home. Psych, just kidding, guys.
I was like, fuck you, Dale. Also, your joke didn't even make sense. Like, you got everyone's going to cook against one person, but there's going to be a loser. It's like it's the person who's the least successful against one of you guys. Like, I didn't understand your joke in the first place, so I knew it was a joke. Dale.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now the alums basically start.
So like, just kidding. We're cooking for you.
Yeah. So then Nina, they're all talking, and Nina like pulls aside Dawn and is like, listen, just scale it back. Don't add extra garnish, okay? So if you're thinking about adding three components, like maybe do two. Like how many think about doing tomorrow? About seven. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about two or eight? Two. I should do 10, right? Two.
You're right, an even dozen. People love things. A dozen. You're right. And she goes, do you need to think to yourself, does the garnish add something, or are you just using it for color? And she's like, oh, I got it. Don't you worry about me. I got it, Nina. I've got what you're saying.
So what you're saying is if the garnish isn't adding something, I should sort of like lean into the garnish and make it bigger and larger and then make that a third component to the dish, right?
No.
So then I don't know if you noticed, so we got to see all the food that everyone made, and so it was all like very homey, fun stuff. But did you notice what Richard Blaze made?
Was it the bone marrow?
Yeah, it was something called pile o' beef, and it was basically a whole bunch of it was beef with a whole bunch of bone marrows on top of it, and it just. I hated it. It was clever. Like, it's like, isn't this funny? It's like a whole bunch of beef, but then a stack of bones on top. And I was like, you know what, Richard, put a little bit more effort into it. Okay. Like, congratulations. You got bone marrow.
I think it's just so chefy, right? It's like, wow, I'm a chef. You would eat bone marrow.
It was just annoying. It was like supposed to be like, it was like very caveman-ish. It was literally like beef with bones on top of it, and you know, it was clearly like a celebration of the marrow, but like because it was Richard Blaze, I just irrationally detested that dish. I was like, "Fuck
you, fan people love their marrow; they just love it." They're like, "Do you have a smaller spoon? Do you have a marrow spoon?" I'm like, "No, you're gonna eat this with your fucking espresso spoon, okay? And you're gonna like it.
It's called your tongue." So, but everything else looked great. So then Brooke starts talking, and she's like, "You know, once you get home from this experience, your creativity really starts to blossom and grow in ways that you never expected it to because all the people that you met and all the experiences." Oh, wait, hold on. My phone is ringing. Hey, Brooke, I'm still waiting on that coffee. Can you let me know when it's going to be coming? Okay, guys, I'll be right back.
So then it's morning time and the chefs are waking up and stuff.
Wait, I also liked when Melissa said to them, "Listen, guys, we're all winners right now. We're so proud of you because we're all well, except for Dale. He didn't even make it to the finals, but we're all winners right now.
Except for Greg, but we really like him, so I'm not going to bring him up right now."
Gosh, it's amazing how many people at this table actually haven't won this show. We're all winners, though.
Guys, if you feel worried about tomorrow, I just want you to remember that Kwame served frozen waffles on his season. Okay, so, and he's here, so... So the top chefs alone in the morning, and let's see, Gabe is, it's an emotional day because like I cook for myself and my family, and I want to walk away from this incredible experience with that title. And then they're getting dressed, and it's the finale day, so even though they're just, you know, putting on a t-shirt, maybe their jacket, it's like da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. Yep, that's right. It is me standing on the garden in my grunge hat.
Doing some what I call in-your-face comfort music, okay? So they're like, Gabe's like, let's get this mole cooking again. I'm like, are you cooking anything other than mole right now? You're just making one big sauce, aren't you? So then, and Shota had like left his cow tongue in the oven overnight, like using residual heat. And so it was like a little scary because he put tape on the oven to tell people not to open it. And so it was like, is this going to work out? And it did. And it was like it's like delish. And Dawn, meanwhile, she didn't get to, she was going to bake her bread yesterday, but she didn't get to bake it yesterday because, you know, it's bread. And I guess she started too late. Like, Dawn, start your bread earlier. Dawn, for crying out loud.
You got to proof that bread. And so she's cooking her honey bread in a banana leaf. And banana leaves scare me on this show. And Jamie's like, yeah, yesterday was really intense with you. And Dawn's like, oh, was it? Was it intense? Well, guess what? I'm intense. Sorry.
Yeah. And Gabe is like, I'm intense also, like little tents in my backyard because I camp with my kids. I invented that. So then Jamie's just like chopping something and they're playing the most grandiose Olympic music. Like, this is the finale. It's like, I'm like, she's literally like chopping chives right now.
Yeah, they really bring it out for the finale, right?
Yeah.
So Gabe is really grateful to have Maria, who understands his flavors. And Maria's like, I'm deep frying these, but they're absorbing way too much grease. We need to do this in the oven. And he's like, see what I mean, guys? Good call, Maria. She's like, can I have your autograph? Shut up, Maria. Just fucking pan fry it.
Please stop crying into my food. Thank you. So, guess what? Dawn's behind, guys, because the bread is taking longer than she anticipated. It's like,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's bread. That's what's going to happen. It's like the number one rule of bread is that it takes longer than you ever anticipate. It always, it's like, it's never proved to where it needs to be. Dawn. So now, of course,
Jamie is terrified, you know, because she's got so much to do because Dawn has so many elements going on. And so it's like, okay, well, we need to fry those tomatoes and we need to cut the celery. Then you need to get plates. Then I need an ice bath. Then I need a spoon of salt right here. She's like, was that a Jetsons car crashing?
Yes. I'm scared now and I know I'm going to be scared in the future.
So now the slow-mo, the chefs are arriving, and, you know, in an effort to one-up Tom, Ed Lee has decided to do a big old crazy hat, too. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome James Beard Award winner, Ed Bigley Jr. with a strange hat. Congratulations, you one-up Tom.
Welcome, everybody. I want to propose this toast. Gail... Stop pulling cream cheese out of your purse every time I say toast. I mean the drinking kind. All right. Let's toast to Tiffany Derry, who's back with the family. Hello, Tiffany.
Yeah. Tiffany was there. I love Tiffany. That made me so happy to see her there.
Yeah, me too.
And welcome, everybody. We're about to have what I hope is one of the best meals that three non-famous people could ever cook. Who else is excited? I'm not, personally.
So we go to everybody cooking, getting ready. And Dawn's like, oh my God, I don't have any time. Jamie says, I need directions. And so they're plating. And Dawn's like, this still needs bread. This still needs bread. And we see them like crawling on top of each other, trying to get down the line of all of these dishes, you know, because there's like two really long lines of dishes. Yes. And she's like, oh my God, you're unwrapping them. Do not unwrap them from the banana leaf. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they miss one. And Dawn's like, oh, I've done it again.
I was like, Dawn, are you kidding me? How is this still happening in the finale? How do you do this in the finale, Dawn? So now the dishes, they come out and it's like, ooh, ah. And then you hear Naomi, what's her face? Go. She's like, oh, hey, you're missing something. You're missing something, huh? And Richard didn't get bread or a chicharrón, which, by the way, couldn't have happened to a better person. Like, that literally made me so happy that he did not get bread or the chicharrón.
Yeah, Blaze, but he's also one of the biggest mouths, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if it was maybe someone nicer, they would have just been like, can I taste yours? Because I didn't get mine. But he's like, I didn't get mine. I did not get this, okay? Oh, and you got to have gold leaf. Of course, it's a finale. You got to have some gold leaf on there, right, guys?
Well, at least it wasn't Dale who'd been like, this is unacceptable in the finale again. Again, I am going to speak to the manager of this show.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that I don't have Dale written down here, because in my memory it's Dale, because that's just, you know how your memory plays tricks on you.
Yeah.
But nope, it was Blaze. So Shota did his raw course, so he serves that. It's the pickled mackerel, salmon cured in pickled radish, tuna caviar, and goat flakes.
Yeah, And then Pam's like, Gabe. And so I really like the way she said Gabe this episode. I feel like every time it was like Gabe's turn to talk, she'd be like, Gabe. So then Gabe is like, well, I've made you a chicharrón prensado with a conchinita pibil in the form of head cheese with avocado mousse. And this last thing, this is reminiscent of an orange sauce I had in the Yucatan. Okay. I'm like, it's an orange sauce. Okay. So then actually it was a kumquat sauce. I just feel like everything is like reminiscent to him of something. I'm just like, I can't stand anything he's saying today. So, and then okay, Dawn.
I have to say, because you know, I have an endless problem, especially on this show, with autocorrect. It just makes me crazy. There's so many words that Siri is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, she's like, that's too fancy for me. I'm not typing that. So she writes whatever she wants. This is my Dawn. Dawn, lamb target our beef tendon puff. So I don't know what close. That means.
It was a lamb tartare with tomato and a celery salad and a beef tendon puff and rice honey bread. Ah. And Dawn goes, I intended everyone to have a beef tendon puff and a honey bread, but you may not have gotten that. Pam goes, okay. Thank you. You know, the funny thing is that beef tendon puff is actually what we call Gail. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like finding out that instead of going out to dinner with your famous friend, you're going out with a stand-in. Wow, this dish is really the clam of the oyster world. Thanks a lot, Dawn.
Hold on, let me call my dear friend, Ali Wong. Hey, Ali. Hey, it's Pad. Hey, what's going on? So I was wondering, you know how I'm always asking you, what is chop suey? My next question is, what is a beef tendon puff? Because I don't have one. Bye.
So Melissa loved sodas. She calls it stunning. It was very clear and focused. And Gregory is like, yep, he had three fatty fish and they really delivered. Really enjoyed those. And Tiffany loved the acidity of the daikon. Yeah. And Gail's like, it went down really, really smoothly.
Oh, sort of like the time you pureed up a Snicker bar with some tofu and slurped it in one fell swoop. Yeah, just like that, I'm sure.
Well, Gabe, not that he's my favorite, but I'm currently lodging my tongue in his butthole in my mind. But Gabe had a beautiful first course, just beautiful. And Dale's like, wow, what an amazing way to start a finale. Those sauces were fantastic. I'm going to do him the favor of not calling them mole at the moment, just so we can make it seem like there's a little differentiation in what he's doing. But God, they were fantastic.
And then at the corner of the table, Peter Cho is like, well, I mean, I would have liked the PBL to be crispier.
Excuse me, Peter Cho. Who the fuck are you? Get away from our table. Who is this man?
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Hello, dear friend Angela Merkel. Have you ever heard of a man named Peter Cho? No. Peter, Angela just called you Peter No. Oh, wait, hold on. Angela something. Peter, Angela just called you Peter Go. Angela, you're hilarious.
Brooke, when you're done getting me a coffee, do you mind taking the mask off of Nilu in the corner? I know it's you there, Nilu. I know it.
Well, out of the three, Dance was the most dynamic. You know, I really was impressed with the bread element. And I have to say, the lady who always brings our coffee must have liked it because she's in a man bun. Get it, coffee girl?
Brooke is like, please stop harassing me. And Nina says, well, you know, I told you last night, less is more, okay? But you don't have to put all these things on and focus on flavor and start plating early.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. Now, who are you again?
And Naomi says that she wishes that she'd just gone simple with it. And Tom's like, well, you know, nothing here everything here is like last minute. That's the thing. I mean, it's all cold. It's already prepared. I just don't understand it. It's not a la minute. Okay? I mean, what's the deal? It's all cold. Why would it take so long? This is really, really, really upsetting me. Let's talk about Kate some more.
And then Brooke says, I just want to know what's going through Dawn's head right now.
I'll tell you what's going through her head. Not the national anthem. She hasn't listened to that ever since she lost at the Olympics, Dawn. Sorry to get into your head there a little bit.
So then in the kitchen, Jamie's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like, don't worry. Okay, let's just get the bread pudding next. Come on. Let's get it together.
Yeah. So now they're frying. There's like frying, a lot of frying happening, and Gabe has tweezers out, and he's using kombucha to make a sauce that resembles fermented pineapple drink. And he's never done it before.
Wow, I've really gone crazy tonight, creating a kombucha for this. Creating a kombucha.
Kombucha, you know, it's like I always tell myself, I have to cook from the heart and tell a story. And I love serving kombucha to my children when we camp in the backyard. That's something we do. I don't know if anyone's ever thought about doing that before, but something we do. Yeah.
So Jamie and Don are plating, and Jamie's like, beep, beep, beep. It's like, would you stop? It sounds just like the kitchen timer. Okay? You need a different sound for this. Wow, this looks beautiful.
And Shota serves, it's his vegetable course, and he's like, he serves it's water spinach and burdock root and burdock chips. And then Naomi's like, and this is octopus, yeah? Notice that I'm saying in this tone that seems to register me feeling like you just said this was a vegetable dish, and yet there's octopus. Okay, Shota, you can't fool me. I'm Naomi. Okay, you can't fool motherfucking me.
And Dawn did a green gumbo, this was her Leah Chase-inspired dish. And Gabe did a scallop aquachile with fermented pineapples and roasted scallop oil. And Padma's like, wow, I just keep going back to Gabe's for that gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous sauce. Gorgeous. Wow, this sauce is almost gorgeous enough for Gail to wear it. Oh, look, she is. Would someone pass Gail a napkin?
Now I know what it feels like to be a Gail. Just wanted to lick this plate and lick everyone's plate around me. This gorgeous sauce. So then
I was trying to figure out this sweetness, and knowing that it's pineapple is amazing. Wipe your mouth, Gail.
Congratulations, Gail. You just had your first pineapple. Welcome to being a person. So
Ben and Jerry's revelation flavored.
All right, okay, Gail, put down your phone. Now's not the time to order a crate of pineapples from Amazon.
Well, I love Don's gumbo, personally. And Melissa's like, you know, my concern here is the octopus. That's my concern.
That's what we say every time Gail's late. We're very concerned about the octopus. Where is it?
And Nina says Leah's actual original vegetable gumbo is much simpler, and this one has too much green in it. And Tom's like, you know, the green doesn't really connect with anything, but I still enjoy it. I mean, not as much as Gabe. Gabe. Wow, Gabe.
You know, it's the best part about the gumbo is that it starts with the letter G, which is the same letter that Gabe's name starts with. God, he's the best.
Guys, I have one question about this gumbo. Do you think that Gabe likes my hat?
And Ed says he loves the hush puppy, and Brooke says, yeah, the hush puppy is so good. Yeah, I agree. It is so good, and I'm so glad we're finally calling Gail that. Hush puppy.
Hush puppy.
That's what we say to Gail when she tries to weigh in on something. Hush puppy.
And Tails like, Shota's really just felt like a warm salad with bleh. And Ed says, yeah, it was a little oily. And Padma's like, yeah, I like Gail's face before I taught her what a Biore was.
That was a very good observation, Mr. Asner. It's Ed Lee, not Ed Asner. Whatever.
They're plating. It's time for the third dish. And I'm always worried for Don now. You know, like,
always.
Because I've been rooting for Don this whole time. So I'm always worried for her. But she gets it. They all get it this time.
I was just imagining it was going to be like, and here is my braised beef. Don, why is this served on a napkin? I forgot the actual plate this time. Oh, Don.
Well, now is probably the best finale we've ever gotten, because we finally get Gail's number one single, Gailiana Grande.
So much cow.
The Ducat scale so singing. I table. Loved that.
She goes, so much she's cow like, on
so
the table.
So much cow on the table.
Oh, God, she's singing again. Well, let me tell you one thing. You're no Mark Ronson, who's a dear friend of mine.
So Shota serves his beef tongue curry, and Don has the braised beef with black-eyed peas, thank you, and buttered turnips. And Gabe does chili-cured beef short rib with chichilo negro.
And pickled persimmons, your favorite.
The snottiest pickled vegetable of all time.
One more course. Get back in there, poor people.
So now Ed starts getting emotional over Shota's curry because he was made fun of as a little kid for eating this, and now it's on Top Chef. And he goes, but that being said, the rice is a little crunchy. Just like Gail's hair. I totally get it, Ed.
Yeah, I thought that was cute, that story. Like, you know, you're made fun of for eating something, and then it becomes famous on Top Chef. That's like if I went on Top Chef and made a Big Mac and somebody cried. That's like my dream.
And Melissa says, you know, this is really good, but it's a little staff mealy.
Oh, Melissa, I just love how you said that. You really cut to the core of how you're rich and famous, but this is food for poor, unfamous people. That was just really on the mark, Melissa.
I mean, basically you're saying this should be between a long bun. Am I right?
Melissa, does this staff mealy dish remind you of the time you made that salad with just lettuce and a few tomatoes last season when you actually won? Do you remember that, Melissa?
On the table.
Please, somebody put a roll in Gail's mouth so she'll stop singing.
Gail, you can't sing about cow on the table when you've eaten it all, okay?
Gail, your spinoff isn't a musical, all right?
Gail,
the title Gleek was already taken.
Gail, maybe you should name it So Many Empty Licked Off Plates on the Table.
Empty chairs at empty tables, am I right, Gail?
Gail, how about So Many Stains on the Bib?
So Ed is like, wow, this is really typical Gabe cooking. The sauce is amazing. And Gregory says, this was my favorite sauce of the evening. I really enjoyed this sauce. It was very good.
Boo! Sorry, I was just trying to startle you. It's just so fun to see you get scared.
And Gabe's, someone says the mushrooms were charred and it added so much intensity.
Yeah, Gail says that she's like, you know, I find that the charred mushrooms are just a little bit too bitter.
Yes, Gail. And yet you ate them anyway. Isn't that funny? Anyone? Anyone see that?
And you know, Gail does not like chard because still the most famous Gail line to me is burnt, charred, rubbery eggs.
So now they're plating desserts and Gabe has his squash. That's his candied squash. And Maria's like, $250,000 pumpkin. And Dawn is saying that this dessert is the most near and dear to her. And, you know, so that's exciting.
Well, we've had glorious, amazing, diverse food. And it's been amazing to see Gail's elastic grow. And also your personal growth, chefs.
Chefs, we have to say, this food has been absolutely wonderful. And you've given us so many interesting points of view. Thank you for this wonderful food. And thank you for not giving us just a pile of meat with bones on top of it. Yeah, I heard about that, Richard.
So Blaze really loved Shota's presentation. Kwame loved Shota's dessert. And Gail says, I loved the smoky ice cream, but it overpowered the subtlety of the cheesecake.
Hi, David Chang. It's your good friend, Padma. Hi, guess what? Gail's now complaining about not getting subtleties of flavors. Gail and subtlety, am I right? Yeah, totally. Okay, bye.
So Dale is like, yeah, that squash, I mean, it was sticky. You know what? We need to put that on a Michelin star tasting menu.
And so Melissa feels like this squash is showing us where Mexican food is heading. But Tiffany loves Dawn's bread pudding and she says it's really taking her home. And Brooke is like, you know, while I love all the flavors, this does feel a little bit basic for a finale dessert. Basic. Anyone want to take this one? I mean, it could go in so many different directions. You can make fun of Brooke, Gail, probably Dale, anyone really. Who wants it? Melissa, you're really good at this now. You want to try?
We can always circle back to Richard Blaze's original bangs if anybody would like. Anybody? No?
Also, all right. Feel free to incorporate his pile of meat.
Well, I think this is the most successful course for each one of them.
And Jamie in the kitchen, it just cuts to Jamie in the kitchen going,
not gonna lie, I thought, wow, this bitch is crazy, but it turned out good.
Guys, this dessert, I mean, I have to say, this is like the most Gabe out of all the courses. Just the most successful and probably going to win the most, right? God, I love this course.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to the all-stars, LOL. It feels like one big it feels like it's been one big family reunion. If my family was, you know, slightly richer than the poor people that cooked. So, thank you for coming, stars. I mean, that's just hilarious.
It feels like one big family reunion if my family suddenly lost all their money and was forced to dress themselves from the dress barn. So thank you for a great season, and thank you, Tom, and thank you, Hush Puppy. I mean, Gail. And even to Nilu over there, dressed as Peter Cho. Thank you for making the effort to break into our bubble.
So at judge's table, dun, 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 Shota decided to go light to start. And Blaze is like, it was light, but what big flavor and precision!
And Tom says, you know, it's great to see you guys cook all season long. And, you know, in the finale, you stuck to doing what you do.
Leaving food off of plates, Don. That's what you do.
And Don's like, yeah, well, the progression was challenging. I just wanted to show a lot. Yeah, and you left bread off some plates. But otherwise, it was really, really tasty. That was good. What happened, Don?
Don, what happened? Don. Look, what Don, happened? I'm empathetic. Don. Did you mean to leave the food off the plate? It would have been great if Brooke didn't get that bread. I'll be honest. It would have been hilarious.
Did you mean to give me the did you mean face, Don? Because that's what's on my face right now.
Don, did you mean to leave the tendon puff off the plate? Because guess what? She became a judge. And here she is, Gail.
Well, I did have a lot of prep, and we lost time. And Gail goes, well, you bit off more than you can chew. Well, Don, that was the pot calling.
Something that Gail has never had a problem with, because she's been able to chew literally everything. You ever seen a cat carrier? It's half gnawed through. It's not from the cat, I'll tell you that much. She doesn't even open doors anymore. She just eats right through them. She literally can chew everything. She never bites off more than she can chew.
It's a superpower. It's a mediocre superpower.
Remember that scene in Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs got through the cage? It wasn't the dinosaurs, it was just Gail visiting.
I'm going to invent Gail balls and just start putting them in jacket pockets. Do you know how many outfits have been ruined by just Gail biting off just as much as she can chew?
Have you ever seen a tendon puff chewing a red bouncy ball? It's horrifying, and we have to witness it every single day.
So then we move on to Gabe, and Padma's like, wow, you know, Shota, oh, they say that his was deep and rich, and they loved the kumquat, I don't know.
Yeah, I have.
I don't know what I'm trying to go for
here. The flavor in that beautiful rectangle was deep and rich. Gail, are you talking about a shoebox that you ate? No. It was deep and rich.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed it, especially with a kumquat sauce.
Yeah, that was really deep and rich. Kind of like if it had been about 80 years older, Padma would have married it. Oh, wow, Gail. Good one. Bit off more than you could chew with that one. Hmm.
You know, if only that kumquat sauce actually wrote poetry, Padma would date it. Gail, stop. It's not fun when you do it to me.
Well, Shota, the burdock mysteries felt like a side dish. And Don, I really love how you elevated something homey. You know, the fritter was divine.
I'm shocked that you even got it on the plate, you know? Because remember how you left everything off? Remember when you left something off in the finale, Don? Remember when we told you for 3 straight weeks, stop leaving things off, and then at the finale, you left something off, Don? Is this making you feel bad? Do you want to cry?
You know, the seafood and the green gumbo, the seafood was just a bit disconnected from the vegetables.
Oh, like Gail. Am I right?
It's like going to the coast. And finding a bear. Like, why is there a bear on the coast? It's disconnected.
But Gabe, the aqua chile had some of my favorite flavors of the night.
And Melissa's like, I love that broth. Oh, what a surprise. Melissa loves a broth. Well, what else is new? Oh, let me see. Oh, Gail ate her shoe. It's a night of surprises. Melissa loves broth and Gail ate a shoe again. Wow.
And Melissa's like, that kombucha was mind-blowing.
I'll tell you what's mind-blowing. Gail didn't wear a pattern tonight. Can you believe it? And not even a puffy sleeve.
Shota's third dish was completely intoxicating. It could have been presented better because it was a casual concept, but you started with fine dining. And the rice wasn't cooked. I mean, nice monologue, but let's just get to the crunchy rice, all right?
I love Gail complaining about a casual concept when she practically wore jorts to tonight.
So yeah, listen to Gail not enjoying casual concept when she spends most of her time in casual corner. Am I right, Gail?
Gail, who's an active member of the Kulat online community, suddenly hates casual concepts.
So Melissa said that Don's beef cheeks were the heart and soul. And Padma's like, yeah, and the peas smelled and tasted as if they were from the garden, which is actually a compliment, even though it doesn't sound like one. I'm sorry, no matter what I say it like this, so it sounds rude, but I think I meant that as a compliment. I don't know, we're spending too much time
what
on
I'm
this.
Saying
Let's
is
make fun of Gail's clothes some
it
more.
It smelled like fertilizer. It smelled like active horse manure. And then Richard goes, Gabe, how many ingredients go into that mole? Please tell us quickly because Tom is trying to finish out. Oh, yeah, Gabe. Tell me about the mole. Oh, yeah. Tell me about the
Did you cook that? Those mushrooms overcooked on purpose.
Oh,
tell
yes.
us you did
oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Tell me about the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Gabe.
And now for the sweet part. Okay, Shota, tell us about the Gale. I'm sorry, cream cheese.
Hey, why don't you tell us, listen, here's my criticism, and this is something that nobody would say when they had breakfast at Gale's house. Anybody? The ice cream was unexpected.
You know, I loved your smoky ice cream. It was so unexpected. Sort of like Dawn getting all the components on all her other dishes.
And Dawn, the bread pudding should be at everyone's house at Thanksgiving, which I wouldn't come to anyway, because I'll be standing outside Gabe's window, touching myself gently, and strumming guitar in my head.
Yeah, and don't expect Gail, because apparently she doesn't like casual concepts anymore.
Gabe, one word, fearless. You roasted squash.
Yeah, that was the most chefy moment of the night. I have to say, when you took a wedge of delicata squash and you roasted it with sugar, fearless. Absolutely fearless. Oh, yeah. Talk about it again. Oh, the squash. Oh, the squash.
And Melissa's like, chef to chef, I was inspired. I mean, it was like being in Mexico City at a Michelin star restaurant. And then Tom just splooges all over the floor.
Just like.
Well, I want to thank the three of you. You cooked the patterns right off Gail's wardrobe. It's a Christmas miracle.
We have a difficult decision to make. Perhaps the most difficult decision. Because soon, one of you will be top chef, which means that you'll get to come back on this show and cook a bunch of meat and put some bones on top of it and serve it up. Thanks, Richard. Pile of meat.
Looking forward to your future bangs, losers.
That'll be all.
Okay, so now the judges go, it's time for like private judging. And, you know, the other chefs go like sit in like outside. And Gabe is like, that was one for the books. How does everyone feel? Anyone want to go camping in my backyard? I invented that, guys. I totally invented that.
It's super fancy because they have charcuterie back there. Wow, what a fancy stew room today, okay? So they come, Padma's like, thank you for being away from your families and poor things with their little tin cans full of beans camping in the backyard. Let's just hope Gabe's wife stopped being such a monster and let the children back inside.
Okay, fellow chefs, or judges, I should say. Let's talk about the dishes we got today. And no, Richard, we will not be evaluating your pile of meat. It wasn't in the competition, okay? So just stop.
I can see you chomping at the bit, so go ahead and start, Bangs. So Blaze is like, well, unfortunately for me, I didn't get two elements of Dawn's plate.
And I don't give two shits about what you have to say, okay? Moving on.
Gail's like, she was heartbroken. Yeah, it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, nothing tastes better than heartbreak on other people.
She looked absolutely devastated. Like the time that, Gail received a letter that she was officially banned from the Charleston Chew Factory.
So Melissa is like, but you know what? Dawn missing something on the plate. It is inexcusable at this point. I was like, whoa, Melissa. Melissa.
Like, you need to calm it. I've never seen Melissa like angry.
Go lean into that, Melissa. It's great. Listen, her lamb tartare had so much flavor. Even just one paper-thin slice of celery had such a beautiful pickle on it. It was almost as if that celery was the embodiment of the coast.
Tom's like, well, you know, Gabe's, I know that everybody's loving Gabe's sauce work. Oh, yeah, it was fascinating. He's like, but the breading, you know, the breading on that head cheese, that was just wrong. Oh, Tom, you're just saying that because you've already splooged.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how much clearer you can think now? Now, let me tell you something. Did you try that pickled celery on Dawn's dish? Wow.
Well, I give the first to Shota, okay? And so they agree on that. And then we move on to the second dish. And Gail's like, the best second was Gabe. That kombucha was like poetry. Oh, God, Gail, that's what you said the last time you read the back of a Ben and Jerry's carton.
I mean, for crying out loud, Gail also thinks a wrapper on a Joe Bazooka gum is poetry.
And Tom's like, well, you know, the dish was successful. It ate well. Like Gail, huh? So that was a real Gail of second dishes.
You know what? Shota's vegetables were really great. There was just a little bit of bitterness in the burdock on the top. And Melissa says, yeah, it felt like a vegetable side. Just say what it really is. Crew food. Am I right? Crew food.
By the way, where is my coffee?
Hey, Brooke. Where's that coffee? Please don't tell me you got stuck in some sort of burdock root forest. Get back here.
I like how when it's the end of the season, Tom is just so tired because he goes through the whole season giving these big eloquent monologues and, you know, his criticisms are like a little long-winded sometimes. But when it's the end, he's just like, you know, I like Don's gumbo, but the seafood, not good.
You know, I like the gumbo. And like I said about Gail on her wedding day, the fritter was beautiful.
So the third dish.
Shota's dish was humble and delicious, but his rice was lacking.
You know, it's so funny. I also said that on your wedding day.
It was crunchy, which is what I said about your cake.
And Melissa just wanted him to push himself more. And Blaze is like, Gabe's mole was so memorable. It could have been, how do you say, in a saucer? Yes, how did you know? It's how Gail ate it.
Wait, they had just mole in a saucer? Oh, God. Oh, here comes round two. Oh, yes, mole in a saucer.
Keep it together, Tom. You want him to think that anybody could win this thing. All right, out of all threes, I like Dawn's, of which I just said the seafood was bad. So yeah. You can totally believe that coming out of my mouth right now.
And Gail goes, I loved the peas. I loved the turnips. That's also the name of her autobiography coming out soon.
Unfortunately, the third word is whipped cream.
And then it cuts to Dawn, and she goes, you know, I'm proud of what I did. I left it all out there today. I'm like, Dawn, stop. You literally left things out. You literally left it all.
Yeah, she says, I left it all on the table. Not all of it, Dawn. Okay.
Yeah, you left it on the table, not on the plate. So Tom's like, well, you know, wow. I mean, so you have one dish for Shota, one for Gabe, and one for Dawn. Oh, who could possibly win this? And that brings us to the glorious dessert course. Wow, I'm excited. It almost feels like I'm at a party with my dear friends. Lena Waithe, Ali Long, David Chang, and Angela Merkel.
Well, I loved Shota's. It was technical. It was creative. It was emotional. Well, the delicate cheesecake really let the smoky whatever it was shine. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Delicate cheesecake. There, I've said it. Right?
What do you think, delicate cheesecake? Padma, you promised to stop calling me that. Okay, I'll just say that Dawn's dessert was just pleasurable. She showed us she could make a bread pudding unlike any other bread pudding I've ever had. And we know that Gail's had them all. Am I right, everyone? Bless her heart.
Oh, Gail, so of course you liked it. That was your nickname in high school. So Tom's like, wow, the squash. I mean, a dessert with squash. It was just so, wow, look at you, twice in a night.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, put down that squash, okay? Put it down, Tom. Oh, well, the squash is ruined.
And Melissa says it was so innovative. You know, Gabe really took us on a journey through Mexico.
Say something about crew food again, Melissa. That was really one of the best things you've ever said.
All right, I think we know, and so does everybody else. Tom, get your hand off the squash, Tom. Tom, it's a family show.
Let's get the unfamous people out here. Okay, so now the chefs all come in, and everyone, like all the all-stars are there, and also the people, like Jamie, Byron, and Maria, and they're all clapping. And Jamie is so funny. Did you see this? Jamie just starts waving at Dawn as if they haven't. She's like, "Hi, hey, over here. Remember me?" She's like such a mom in that moment.
Well, chefs, it's been amazing to watch your journey and get to know you as people. And by people, I mean those nameless people in the kitchen that I say, you've got 3 hours. I can't thank you enough. All three of you are winners, of course, which means I'm just kidding because you're really not. I don't know any of your names. I will tell you this. Whoever loses will get flown out of here by Nina, who's wearing a pink glitter cape like the superhero that she is. Padma?
All three of you winners. Which, of course, is my patronizing way of saying that actually two of you guys are losers and will probably regret the choices you made today. Okay. So, Padma?
Game. Tom, someone bring some paper towels for Tom.
Tom, pants up, hands down. Okay. Game.
Game, you are top chef. And in Tom's mind, I mean that literally. You are the top chef.
Could someone get a bucket for Maria's tears? They're already getting all over the place.
And, wow, Gabe. Wow, congratulations. Super happy for you, Gabe.
I mean, he did cook amazing food all season long. I'm still pissed, though, that he totally pulled that move during Restaurant Wars. He should have actually probably gone home that day instead of Sarah, because he showboated, which with his amuse-bouche, which led to, you know, was a contributing factor to them losing, and then he wouldn't take credit. I'm still resentful about that. But that being said, almost every challenge he kind of kicked ass in, so like I get it. But Gabe is
whatever, he's a watery-eyed jerk.
Okay? Yeah, he's like, I'm mind blown that I won $250,000, and to be honest, I'm so inspired right now. I'm inspired to learn from my fellow chefs who didn't win, and I'm inspired to learn from myself and inspired to learn from the judges. I'm like, you're inspired to learn from yourself? Shut the fuck up. Get out of here. Enough.
I'm so inspired to learn by what I learned about when I learned things.
I'm so inspiring to myself. When I think of all the things I've done, I think about all the things I am inspired by about the things I did. Wow, I'm so inspirational.
I'm going to name this award the Erales Award. Very proud of myself. Yay me. So Shota is, you know, still happy because he got so far, and closing his dream restaurant was difficult and he really needed this. And Dawn's really proud. And this is where she says she didn't leave anything on the table. It's like, awkward.
Yeah,
she says that her heart is full. Unlike Blaze's plate. Ha ha. Great last move, Dawn.
Well, Blaze, since you didn't get that tendon puff, we decided to put another bone on your plate from your pile of meat last night. So then Gabe calls his family. He's like, I won. He's like,
And then it all ends with Padma giving a corporate infused toast.
Gabe, you just won $250,000 furnished by our good friends at San Pellegrino. Exacto.
I mean, this really has so many layers to it, doesn't it? You're so talenty. Congratulations, Mr. Tillamook. Wow.
Gabe, you've really shown that you have a lot of drive, just like a BMW MX6 with cup holders.
Wow. Happy Campbell's Day.
So that brings us to the end.
I hope that in the future you get to cook things like Chipotle's, which reminds me, I love Chipotle.
That brings us to the end of Top Chef season 18. Cannot believe 18 seasons of Top Chef.
I miss it already. I mean, amateurs is not gonna, that's not gonna do it for me. Okay, bring back masters, bring back desserts. That's what we want to see.
Yeah. I'll still be watching that, but we're not going to cover, going to cover that one, but I will still be watching it because
watch everything. Okay. Yep. Watch on the Bravo shows.
But everybody, thank you so much for being with us this season. We've had a really great time with this. If you're just on the main feed, you'll notice all the shows aren't on here. That's because we did a lot of them as bonus episodes this year because our schedule is just too full. And you know, we like putting good stuff on the bonus feed too. So if you want to be on that feed, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where our bonus episodes live. We also do our Crappens on Demand videos a couple times a week. So go over there, sign up. Thank you to everybody who supports us. We sure love you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.